Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the distinction between love and hate. So let's read 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18 again together. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've been looking very closely at verses 14 and 15 of this passage, and today I want us to read those verses again together. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, we've been discussing just how we are to manifest this great love toward one another and refrain from descending into a place where we no longer care about each other by looking at a forgotten but very scriptural concept called church discipline. Church discipline is almost non-existent in the modern church. In fact, you probably don't know five churches in your area that even believe in it, much less any which actually practice it. Church discipline was instituted by no other than Jesus Christ himself and is spelled out for us to examine in Matthew chapter 18. Church discipline is based upon the biblical concept that saved people not only belong to the Lord, but that saved people belong to one another as well. Like I said, in our modern culture that promotes individualism as a virtue, church discipline and the notion that we are all joined together and are accountable to one another is looked at today as being wrong or strange or weird or unloving. And in some cases, this concept has been called unchristian, even though Jesus himself initiated it. It is not loving, dear friends, to watch another brother or sister descend into sin and not go after them and confront them. That is not a manifestation of selfless love. That is a manifestation of selfish hate. It is far easier to just turn your head and pretend that you don't see. But Jesus said that the Christian church cannot and will not operate like the lost pagan world. In the church, there is love, real love. In the church, there is mercy and restoration, forgiveness, long-suffering, and an undying effort to bear one another's burdens. It is not a Christian concept to think that we are free to interpret Scripture any way that we choose or to live any way that we choose and to be unattached and unaccountable to one another. You cannot find those concepts anywhere in the Bible. That is the way the lost pagan world operates, but not the church. Listen to what God's Word says should be going on in the church. Like Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. How about Hebrews 13, verse 17? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. How about Hebrews 13, verse 7? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Romans 15, verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you divide and bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How about Colossians 3, 12 through 16? So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Hebrews 3, 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then there's Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 that says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now that's quite a picture, isn't it? You can see from these and many, many other verses that the church is made up of called and chosen people who have all been supernaturally reborn by a sovereign act of a merciful God. And in response to this great salvation, these humble and broken and grateful souls do not live selfish and self-centered lives, but they leave the comfort of their own existence and they periodically gather together in a public place for the express purpose of worshiping God and of edifying one another. The Bible says that saved people are accountable to each other, as well as to those elders who are over them in the Lord, and who are responsible for shepherding them and guarding their souls. This accountability is to be ongoing on a daily basis, and so it would be impossible in a setting like that for one to slip off into sin without somebody else knowing about it. But because we are all flesh, we all do periodically fall into sin. Most of the time, we are very much aware of it, and we are convicted immediately of that sin, and we quickly repent and are immediately restored. That is what is called judging yourself. and this self-examination and self-correction and self-judging should go on in every single believer's life continuously. But there are occasions when the wave of temptation sweeps over us and we need the help of other people who genuinely love us and who believe in us enough to swim out into those shark-infested waters to rescue us from drowning. Because most of us are not well-read concerning Scripture, that we honestly don't see a sin that Scripture is clear about. And in those cases, too, we need the loving help of a brother who genuinely cares about our soul to give us understanding. In either case, there are times when the strongest of us need the kind and loving help of someone else who is saved to either wake us up or to rebuke us or to exhort us or to warn us or to enlighten us or to otherwise shake us up so that we will not sin against God. In those times, there is no substitute for biblical church discipline. Now, in the example that I gave on the last broadcast, we have a saved person who is a member of a local church who, for whatever reason, has fallen into adultery, and he's left his wife and moved into an apartment with his girlfriend. Our solemn duty as Christians is not to leave that sinning brother to himself, but to go to him in love, privately, to humbly call him to repentance, to leave his girlfriend, move out of that apartment, and go back to his wife. Now, of course, that makes us all feel uncomfortable. It would be far easier to just cop out about this and say we'll pray for him, and when we see him in church, to kind of hint around that he might want to reconsider. But that's not what Jesus said to do in Matthew chapter 18. So if we really love the brother, then we really believe that Jesus is Lord of the church, and we really don't have much wiggle room here. We must go to that believer who is in sin, and we must confront him with his sin and call him to repentance. If he repents, great. The process ends right there. A sinning brother has been restored, a marriage has been saved, and God has been glorified. No further action is necessary. But if that brother tells us to go take a hike, or if he refuses to repent, or he says that that's none of our business, or he remains steadfast in his rebellion toward God, what do we do then? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 16. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Now, the Lord of the church commands that we go right back to that sinning brother who has rejected our first attempt, and this time we bring with us another witness or even two. Now, these witnesses may be eyewitnesses about the actual sin, or they may simply be a testimony about the fact that what this brother is doing is indeed sin. After confronting the sinning brother the second time, this time with the witnesses, another opportunity to repent is given to the offending brother. Again, if God is merciful and grants this man the heart to repent, then praise God. All is well, and this brother will move out and be reunited with his wife. At this point, the process is ended because the brother has repented and he is now restored. But if he still refuses to repent, then Jesus said we must go to step three. And Lord willing, we're going to go over that third step on our next broadcast, but I've got to stop right here. So please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.